Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
So then, you're welcome along to the football show. Kevin Kilbane in studio. Exciting times, Kevin Kilbane.
How are you?
Very well.
Why? Yeah, it's always exciting times, Joe. Why not? Why shouldn't it be?
It sure is. Troy Parrott started this evening for Spurs. No goals yet away to Colchester. Manchester City are cruising away to Preston 3-0. Seanan Maguire playing for Preston. Everton 2-0 up
no,
away
to
Sheffield
Wednesday.
Sorry,
he was left out tonight. Yeah, he was left on the bench, wasn't he? Alan Brown's captain, yeah. He was left out totally tonight.
Everton 2-0 up away to Sheffield Wednesday. Arsenal 1-0 up at home to Nottingham Forest. Watford 1, Swansea 1. The game which is out on Sky there, Portsmouth 0, Southampton 2. And Leicester City 2-0 up away to Luton Town. Mm. That is the EFL Cup, Kev, in all its glory.
You love it, don't you?
So how you been? What's going on?
Oh, nothing much, so quiet. Few things on the go, really, which we'll find out in due course. But it's all good.
There's an announcement coming tomorrow, isn't there?
Is there?
Can I not say that much?
I don't know. No, I'm just I've just been busy enough, yeah.
No, genuinely, am I not allowed to say that? Or am I?
Just shush, will you?
Keep an eye out for some Kevin Kilbane related news very, very soon. We'll keep it on ice for the time being, but we won't say any more.
Bloody hell, honestly.
What else is going on?
Nothing much, really. No, I've had a good few weeks, been to a few games, watched a lot of the games from the weekend. Sunday... Yeah, watch Man United. Joe, I don't know what's happening to those boys.
We'll get on to that in a second.
It's not been great, is it?
How's Maguire doing?
The dog's doing great. Yeah, he's flying, actually. It's getting to the stage at the moment now with him. Like, he's 14 months now.
Yeah.
Now, maybe throw this one out a little bit, really. Do I get him neutered? Or don't I?
Oh.
I don't know. It's a straight... you know, would I be able to look him in the eye again, man to man?
That's a difficult decision.
If he got the snip.
What percentage of people get their dogs neutered?
I think quite high, yeah. Quite high. It's supposed to have a calming influence on the dog as well.
But would he be the same player?
Yeah. In relation, which player are you talking about here?
If you took that out of him, would he be the same? would you want his behaviour to change?
No, he's a good dog. He's got high energy levels. Yeah,
would that change?
I don't know. I doubt it. Mm. Do you know what? I wouldn't know what to expect. I've had a dog in the past. I had a bitch, and she was spayed. So I don't know. Change her personality.
Is he going around humping everything?
No, he's not. No, but
what's he doing?
Well, no, it's just he's just energy levels are very high, and I don't know. I'd spoke to somebody recently about it, just saying about what's your thoughts on getting it done, and I genuinely don't know. I don't know. He's quite calm, very very playful. Mm. Still a pup, albeit now he's massive. So I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Would you like some advice from the listeners?
Oh, well, if someone's got experience on Weimaraners, yeah, I'd like to hear what they have to say. Yeah, if someone could text in or message in and let me know what I should be doing.
Big decisions.
Yeah,
going to affect Maguire in a big way here.
It is. Yeah, it is.
53106. Add Off the Ball on Twitter.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. That's a decision.
It is big decision. Yeah, for him. No. Yeah, and everybody. Yeah.
So, Kev, what's going on today? We have a few bits of news to get to. Ed Woodward has been talking today. Manchester United have revealed their financial figures. We'll come to that in one moment. There were the FIFA Best Awards in Milan.
Yeah.
Last night.
Yeah.
A few bits and pieces.
What do you think of that? I was actually thinking, is this the Ballon d'Or? We've gone from having the Ballon d'Or to having three different awards in quick succession, haven't we?
I'll be honest with you, there was a lengthy discussion in the office last night and nobody could figure out what's what anymore.
No. Like, no, this the UEFA awards have come to light in the last year or two, haven't they? We had that the other week, didn't we?
No, it's the Ballon d'Or because it's Messi's sixth award.
No, it's not the Ballon d'Or. The Ballon d'Or is later on in the year.
Oh, is it?
Or early next year.
I don't know then.
This is the best of FIFA. This is a new one.
Right. Look. This is the one where the captains and the managers internationally get to vote.
That's it, yeah.
So we'll come to that in a second. Now, Kev, there is a very exciting UEFA Nations League news, which you're going to run us through now. Now, I just want to say to the listeners, by word of warning, this would not be Kevin's strong suit. In fact, the last time Kevin Kilbane tried to talk us through...
I was actually on the money last time, and you talked me out of knowing what I actually did bloody know. That's the thing that annoys me even more.
The last time Kevin Kilbane tried to talk us through UEFA Nations League formatting, it was a disaster.
got everything in front of me. So I think I have it. It took me a while to get there.
Okay.
A few of the lads in there earlier on, but I think I've got it. Yeah. The league split up into four different leagues: League A, B, C, and D. If you win a group, you automatically get into a playoff for Euro 2020 by winning a group.
What?
Yeah. So if you win your group, so if we had, say, Wales and Northern Ireland, we then, I think it comes down to, so if we win League B,
yeah.
And now, not necessarily, but if say you win all the games, potentially, that gives you the chance, you've topped that group. That's how it would work.
So basically, the top four teams in each league, so the one from each group, will go forward to the playoffs, assuming they haven't qualified for Euro 2020 via their actual qualifying group.
But regardless of anything, Joe.
Not like you can break water.
At the end of it, if you top your league, you're going to you'll hit then the playoff system. To go to win the overall winner, which will be League A, B, C, and D.
Yeah.
If then, as I said before, if you win that league, you automatically then qualify. Hit the playoff for the Euros. That's what you get.
When you say winning the league, what do you mean?
You win the League B.
You get one from pot one, one from pot three, and it's a three-team group, and you play them each home and away, and you got four games, and then if we win our league, we get promoted to League A.
I don't understand. So if we win our little group with the other two teams, let's say it's
not... No, not necessarily that. If you win your league...
Yeah, I was going to say, so if we win our league, say we've Northern Ireland and Wales, and we come out of that group.
Say you win all four games. That's the way that you can maybe explain it a little bit. But if you win all four games, you give yourself a great chance of winning the league, because it's going to come down to goal difference and everything will probably...
So what do you have to do to win your league? I get we have a little group within a league. What do you have to do to win the league, to win League B? You don't know. No, that's fine. You don't know.
Yeah, you killed me there. Fine. Let's not go into
that. No, you screwed up.
Disaster.
That was in the days when it first came out, the Nation League. It was quite complicated.
So good.
But I was right, and that's been badly edited to make me look even worse than it actually was.
That's the live conversation.
No, it's not the live conversation, because you were the one that taught me out of it. You win your league, you hit a playoff. That's what I said originally, and you I remember you were saying, "What? I can't be right," which I was right. But anyway.
Oh dear.
But now we've got even more Nations League news.
So what is the big news, Kev? Tell us about this. What's going on today? There was a meeting. There was a UEFA meeting today in Slovenia.
Yeah.
And they took decisions, including some Nations League decisions. So in short, what's going on here? Let's keep this brief.
The Nations League will have a new league structure comprising of 16 leagues, A, B and C teams.
No, 16 teams in the league.
16 teams, yeah.
There's 16 leagues, I'm giving up.
Sorry, 16 teams in A, B and C, pot C, and then there'll be 7 teams in League D, which basically they've expanded it.
Yeah.
So that means we stay in League B.
So our relegation from League B is now null and void.
Yeah, null and void. We are back in League B. So even better, that's good. So we stay there. Germany, who were relegated out of League A, stay in League A because of the expansion, yeah.
Okay. So we remain in League B with the likes of Russia, Scotland, Bulgaria.
Can I just say as well, I had Nathan Murphy tweeting around this as well. Sometimes Nathan, he does act like a bit of a dick at times, doesn't he? And today again, he's just been Nathan Murphy.
Is he?
Harsh but true.
We're in there with Northern Ireland, Hungary, Wales. We're still in with Wales. I'm getting a bit sick of Wales. Norway. So that's us. Will Stephen Kenny welcome the fact that he's got games against higher quality opposition to start off his reign with? Or would he have preferred
to get a nice
run in Group C?
Well, ideally, you look at some of those in Pot A, don't you? And you're looking at Sweden, Israel are in there, Bosnia are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say Poland? Maybe not. Denmark again. We could get Denmark again.
Mm.
We don't really want Denmark, I don't think.
Oh, Denmark or an A?
Yeah, that's what I mean. This is who we could get.
Oh, do we not get everybody from B?
No, we don't. You're right. See, I've even got that wrong, haven't I? Yeah. Oh no, we've got a good.
Don't want to start a new montage.
No, it's a good mix.
We're in with everyone from B, aren't we?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so we're in with everyone from B. Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking we're picking one from every pot, but no, you're right. I'm thinking of it how it normally would work in qualification.
Are you sure? Sure.
Yeah, I'm positive. Positive.
So, would you prefer to be in with all those lads from B, or would you have preferred if you're Stephen Kenny to start off with C level type opposition so you get a bit of a run going?
Well, Russia, Scotland. I personally think you probably have better teams. You'd rather play against better teams, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Fancy your chances at home at beating them. The Czechs in the Romania have been good. I don't know if you've seen any of them. Wales again, as you say. Austria would be dangerous. Norway, but there's teams that I'd be be happy enough, would you not?
They're about our level, a lot of them.
I think so.
Yeah.
Russia would probably be a difficult one as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So we're still in Group B. Incidentally, the other decisions made, some venues for UEFA Champions League finals,
yeah,
including 2021 St. Petersburg, 2022 back in Munich, 2023 Wembley.
Back in Wembley. Well, they like Wembley, don't they? For the simple fact is, it's, I think I'm right in saying, it's the only stadium in Europe that has two tiers of corporate hospitality. So you can imagine.
They do well.
Cha-ching.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The 2021 Europa League final is in Sevilla.
Yeah.
In Seville. 2021 Super Cup is in Belfast. That'd be nice.
Good.
Get two good teams up the road.
Yeah.
Hopefully
would you
no.
Would you head up
well,
to
is there a border or not?
It's a long way down the road. That hopefully after today, Brexit might not happen, Joe.
Don't lie to the Queen, Boris.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So let's jump in. Then I mentioned Ed Woodward had come out today. Manchester United have presented their financial figures. So they're doing very well, as you might expect. He was speaking to club investors, Ed Woodward, after he reported annual record financial revenues, £627 million sterling.
It's unbelievable.
It's good, yeah, they're doing, yeah, they're right up there. So basically, it's a record amount of turnover, £627 million. Next year, the decision to, or sorry, the failure to qualify for the Champions League is going to cost them between £40 and £60 million. So they're expecting, oh, you know, kind of £570 million next year. On the debt, because I was always wondering where they are with the debt ever since the Glazer takeover. So United's debt now is down to £203 million. Now, they've taken a huge amount of money out of the club, the Glazers.
What
There's
was
no
the debt when they took over, Joe?
The peak, the absolute peak, was £778 million in 2010. It's now down to £203 million. But a huge amount of money has just gone to the Glazers.
Yeah.
So, they are servicing the debt.
Was I right in saying, is it £1 billion they've taken out the club?
Close to £1 billion.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been very good for the Glazers. So it all means that their operating profit is now £50 million for the year. So they obviously have a lot of expenditure and they've spent a lot of money.
Mm.
But record revenue, £627 million, which is up 6.3% on 12 months ago. So again, that's pretty good. So next year it's going to drop to about £580 million because they're not in the Champions League. Naturally enough, Woodward was asked about matters on the field.
But he's not answered questions on the field or about on the field matters usually when he's talking about the end of year profits and figures. So this is very different from usual. Why he's actually answered questions on them, Joe?
Yeah, apparently. So the progress we've made on the business side underpins continued investment in the football side. There's nothing too exciting in this, by the way, Manchester United fans. I wouldn't hold your breath. So he said that we are confident that our investment in the pitch will deliver results. It's important that we're patient while Ollie builds for the future. We remain focused on our plan of rebuilding the team, continuing to strengthen our youth system in line with the philosophy of the club and the manager. This is reflected in the recent addition of three exciting first team players, yada, yada, yada. Everyone at Manchester United is committed to delivering on our primary objective, winning trophies.
Yeah.
This was the big criticism. Is that the primary objective? Is it really?
It's not seemed to be that way, hasn't it?
Well, he could turn around, to be fair, and say, well, we have spent £972 million sterling since 2013.
Yeah.
We are the third highest spenders in the Premier League over the last 6 years. We have the second, I think, this was what Andy Mitten said yesterday, the second highest wage bill in world football, or certainly did before a raft of players left over the summer. I don't know, the likes of Sanchez and these players going might affect it. But then again, Pogba and De Gea are on big money. Mm. So they could turn around, in fairness, and say, we have spent a lot of money. We haven't asset stripped the club in a Newcastle-esque way. We put a load of money in. So I think like, there is a merit in that argument. They just seem to have made an absolute mess of it.
It's more around who is actually in charge of signings. Ed Woodward has wanted to put himself front and centre within that, hasn't he? He's wanted the big say who's going to come into the club. Maybe it would have been best for him over the years to step away from that and put somebody in place that might be better qualified around the recruitment process there at United.
The director of football talk seems to have died away.
Yeah, that just seems to have gone. I mean, listening to Andy Mitten around that in the last while, it has died down. Towards the back end of the season, we were talking about, was there Van der Sar was being mentioned, and there was a good few names.
Rio Ferdinand,
but there was a good few names. I'm talking of in relation to some of the bigger clubs around Europe that have done very well. I think Borussia Dortmund's guy was mentioned at one stage as well. So there's been a few that have been mute, but nothing. Again, it's dead. It doesn't seem to be be going ahead now.
I'm conscious if listeners caught last night's football show, we did talk a good bit about United, so I won't labour the point, but I did want to bring the Ed Woodward comments there. But just on the performance on Sunday, I know you watched it. Like, we made this point yesterday, the Guardian had done all the stats since the PSG game. And so since the PSG game, they've had in the Premier League 1-4, drawn 4, lost 7. So 16 points in 15 games, which if you transpose that across 38 game season, it would come up at 40.5 points. So basically relegation form.
Yeah.
Over 15 games, not nothing 15 games, and all the excitement that Solskjaer first brought and the goodwill and the players running beyond the ball talk and goals, it seems to have completely evaporated. So how much trouble is he in here? I don't mean with a view to his job, but like turning this thing around, getting them playing good football again, based on what you saw on Sunday.
Well, I'm not wanting to steal his line, but I was watching the game at the weekend and it was pretty much around the time that I was watching it when Gary Neville actually said it in commentary about United passing forward. You mentioned this, Solskjaer, maybe when he first took over. A lot of United's play was very good counter-attacking football, but a lot of the balls were being played from deep. They were quick forward passes that were getting Rashford into the game. They were getting Martial into the game, or whichever combination they were playing up front. United's midfielders are not passing forward. They're taking the safe option far too often. They're not playing quick football. You maybe if the movement is there, they're not being picked out. The play that's running off the ball. So a lot of the time then, if you looked at the Astana game, even back to Thursday, where they did drop deep, so that ball's not necessarily on, but there was never any runs, any little sharp runs around the penalty area that was being made, then trying to do the little toe pokes around the edge of the penalty area, Joe. It was never an option. Whereas whenever I think, and again, United aren't that team, so we've got to just put it all to bed now, but whenever I think of you watch of United teams over the last 20, 30 years, is it's quick forward passing. And it's something that, you know, I've been managed by Steve Bruce, played alongside many lads that would have played, or some lads that would have played for Man United over the years. And the constant message that they would even say on the training ground all the time is pass forward. Your midfielder's got it. If you're taking it on your back foot constantly, something that I speak about, it's maybe a little bit of a concern that I would have when I'm watching the Irish team. Switching play or passing forward, we don't see it enough. We don't put demands on each other enough, I think, at times. And I think that's what United aren't doing. I think they're maybe playing within themselves because of nervousness. Maybe the pressure's getting to them a little bit as well. It's quite a young midfield. Scott McTominay, is he up to being Man United's main midfielder? And in fairness, I've not necessarily seen it before this year. So he's a player that's a squad player that can come in, maybe get to the level of someone like Darren Fletcher in years to come, but he's certainly not at that level now. And Pereira's not at that level. Fred, well, you know, Pogba, we know he has the ability, but he doesn't pass forward enough himself. I think he takes too many touches on the ball. And that's the criticism of United's midfielders. Whichever combination you're going to play in there, they don't pass forward quick enough. And they don't get the forward players, the exciting forward players that they have, into the game enough. So in turn, Rashford's not looking anywhere near the level that he should be. Martial, I know he's been injured, but he's not necessarily been reaching the levels that we expected him to get to. And that is where United are. They've been very, very poor in terms of that. And that's where maybe the team's suffering at the moment.
And do you feel Rashford and Martial are good enough if they did sort out their midfield?
Well, as we said it, do you remember we spoke after the Chelsea game at the start of the season and you were asking the question of me. I think Rashford scored 2 that day, Martial scored. Do these players have the ability to score 20 goals? And I said yes, immediately said yes. And I think Pat Nevin was on with us that night and said pretty much the same thing. They have the ability. Rashford doesn't get enough tap-ins, and we said that then. Doesn't, and he hasn't been this season. He hasn't been getting himself in positions to score a tap-in.
Funny, there was an example against West Ham. Alan Shearer, I know, highlighted it, where a cross was coming into the box, and if Rashford had gone towards the ball, he would have got in front of his man.
He's constantly waiting for a pullback, isn't he?
And been able to head the ball. This was actually a kind of higher cross. But actually, he drifted to the back post and didn't want to attack the ball. And Shearer was saying, someone's got to get into him and say, you need to get in there, get ahead of your man and really attack the ball. And he wanted to pull back and head it at the back post. So he was criticising certain aspects of Rashford's play. There was one moment where Rashford absolutely should have been in the box for a ball that went across the area. And I wondered at that point, was he injured? Because it was just so obvious.
Yeah.
And then obviously he did pull up. So maybe he was under a bit of pressure to play injured because Martial was out and because Greenwood was out as well. So you don't know. Maybe he wasn't 100%. But I know we're talking generally here anyway. But like, because Neville on TV was saying, like, I think it was around the time Lingard came on, he was almost just looking at it and saying, you know, Martial gone, Sanchez gone, all this money spent. There's not a team here.
Yeah, I know.
I guess it's actually the bones of a squad for 900 million. Like, they've just made such a mess of it.
And the wage bill, as you talked about before as well. So it is.
And what do you think Solskjaer then, working with what he has? Look, there's a sense that he'll be given time, obviously, and the club will look foolish if they double back on him very quickly. But, I mean, if this thing careers out of control, they'll have to act. I mean, does he have enough here to get them fifth, fourth, sixth?
No, I actually thought at the start of the season they may have a chance of getting fourth. Now, I don't think that. I don't think they're going to get fourth. And they're still... I read Andy Mitten's piece actually today in The Athletic where he was talking around this. He was saying, look, they're still around Chelsea in the league. They're still around Arsenal, so they're not way off. And Spurs, should I say. They're still in the mix for it. And you're going to run a game potentially with that squad of players. You could win five, six in a row and all of a sudden everything's looking a lot sweeter. But even if that were to be the case, you still know the serious problems within that squad. Mm. Three or four wins, six, seven wins, is not going to change that.
Mm. They may be fortunate in that Chelsea seem content with the situation, as in Frank Lampard and team getting it plotted off the pitch. Spurs have 8 points as well. Spurs aren't quite where they are.
Do you know what I'd say to you? Do you think Man United could play the way Chelsea played at the weekend and lose the game 2-1? If Man United went at Liverpool the way Chelsea did at Spurs... I think it could be 5 or 6.
Yeah, I don't think they can.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the difference, maybe. That I think Chelsea, you do see a glimmer within them. You see something that Willian's now coming back to a little bit of form as well. Your mate Tammy scoring goals. And Mason Mount's looking a decent find. So you do have... I mean, and of course, you've got N'Golo Kante. He's one of the best midfielders around. So there's a lot more potential with Chelsea's side and squad than there is with United. Way more.
He'll need to keep his head, Solskjaer.
Yeah.
They've Arsenal next Monday. And weirdly, you could see them doing all right in that game.
Yeah, it depends how they play.
Under the lights at Old Trafford, you've kind of seen that one being okay.
They're going to go for it, aren't they? And that could play into Arsenal's hand. Into Arsenal's hands. They've got serious pace in that side. I think that pace could hurt United.
Mm. Guendouzi's growing into himself as well.
Yeah, he played really well. I think he's only 20 now, even. Very, very good player, Guendouzi. But I think we saw enough of him last year. He had erratic spells in games.
Mm.
And maybe you look at that sometimes and you think, well, is he going to get better? Is he maybe in the wrong club to get better? But I think he's certainly getting a lot more coaching. He'll get a lot more coaching from Unai Emery. It won't necessarily be just go out and play and you figure it out for yourself. I think he will get maybe a little bit more positional sense. And he looks a player. He does look a player. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see, I think, how it's going to go with him. I think, I mean, in relation to United up front as well. I mean, I say it last week when I was talking about Greenwood, the young lad. And
What did you make of him?
Well, I said he didn't have a great game on the night, but it's something that I got a bit of criticism. I was on at OTBAM last week talking about it. He didn't have a great game, but I did recognise the fact is that he's 17 years of age. He scored. Mm. So it's an incredible, you know, start for him or in terms of his goal scoring now. And he looks like he's got ability. Solskjaer is talking him up to be one of the best finishers at the club, if not the best that he's ever seen. So it does bode well for him.
I don't know why I had it in my head that he was going to be fast. Hearing about him, you just assume he's got electric pace.
I spoke to Lee Carsey about it. I said I was doing the game and I said, didn't look very quick. Carsey said to me, he said he's a really powerful runner, but not necessarily lightning quick, but he is fairly quick, if you know what I mean. He's a powerful, he'll be able to burst away from people with his power. He's got a bit of strength in there. Okay. And he said he's equally as good shooting with his left foot as he is with his right foot. So that bodes well as well for him.
There's only one thing people want to talk about, Kev.
Yeah.
Whether or not you get your dog neutered. For all our solid Manchester United analysis there, no one cares about that. Although Ross Campbell on Twitter does make the excellent point. Kilbane for Nations League ambassador. You should be the Nations League ambassador. Imagine you going around to different media companies explaining the Nations League, selling it to them. That would be glorious.
Oh, I tell you, honestly.
You should be.
Can you imagine?
Ross Campbell, that's the best tweet of the night. Give me the pronunciation of your dog's breed again.
Weimaraner. Spelt with a W.
Weimaraner. Excuse me, I'm not totally okay with all this.
That's right.
So, Amy Brady had a Weimaraner.
Yeah.
Who was one on the 10th of October. Best thing, she's the best thing that's happened in my life. So calm once she walked and a lovely temperament.
That's the thing, calm once he's walked. Maguire's exactly the same. Got to get him out for a couple of hours to the Phoenix Park every day and... Oh, he's an amazing dog. He is an amazing dog, yeah. You know I love him.
You're gushing. Look, we love Maguire. That's not the issue here.
Yeah.
It's whether or not you neuter him. OTB Kev, I own a Weimar Arner. Food and especially exercise sort out their energy. Why neuter unless he's wandering? That's just lazy ownership, in my humble opinion.
I agree. No, I, that's the thing. I was advised by someone that would basically, you know, clean dogs' ears out, trim nails, cut them down. What do you call them? Dog groomer. There you go. A dog groomer. And no, she said to me, look, you might want to consider it. And my vet said you might want to consider it as well. But he's not wild. He's energetic, I would say, and he's perfect for me because I get out and I go running with him.
Well, that's true. Would it have occurred to you if the vet and the groomer hadn't said it to you based on the behaviour?
No. Wouldn't have done, no.
See, you can't win, though, because Thomas Artane, a bit aggressively, and my dad says, for God's sake, Kevin, grow up. Swear to God, that's where he started his tweet.
That's where he started. Cheers, mate.
Thomas, we get you neutered.
Yeah.
For God's sake, Kevin, grow up. Neuter your dog. Will you take care of his offspring when he goes and fathers unwanted pups?
Well, I'd hope that I've got him around me the whole time when I have him in the park, either be on the lead or be close by to me when I'm out running with him. I'm not going to
just let him out in the wild.
Let him go and you know, sow his oats anyway, you know.
OTB Kev, I own a Weimar Arner. Sorry, that one's there. I've read that one already. That was Anne saying that once he's exercised, he's okay. Get the snip. But then you'll have to look him in the eye, says John.
John's spot on with that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Kev, get your dog done. If you leave it, he'll pull the arms out of you when you're walking him around, and then he'll be trying to get up on car wheels and trees, etc., says walking.
He's strong. He is strong. That's true. He's strong. And very, very strong.
Is he trying to get away from you when you're out for walks?
No, not particularly, but he's strong. He would pull on the lead, yeah. Mm. Maybe get a bit of advice on that. Maybe just get him a little bit more lead training as well, I'd say, as well.
Yeah. So last one then for the time being. Kev, unless you can get him fenced in, get it done. He's going to be able to vault some size of hedge and fence. I had to get mine done because I wasn't around during the day for work, so he was in my mam's. He went haywire running around in circles. We kind of got over it. If mentioned by someone else, me and Bo, that must be the dog, me and Bo will catch each other's eye and we know the unspoken. But he is much calmer.
Yeah.
A German pointer similar to yours.
Yeah. Yeah, Maguire's a German pointer, yeah.
So him and Bo look at each other and they know.
Oh, that's the thing.
Bo looks up and says, I know what you did to me.
Yeah.
Now, do you want Maguire doing that to you?
Oh.
Final one for now. We've got to take a short break. We're coming back with the FIFA Best Awards in Milan last night. I thought Kev was a Mayo fan. Why did he name his dog after Dublin? See what he did there?
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Why did you call him Maguire? Did you call him Maguire because of the Sam Maguire?
Yeah. he's bringing it home, John.
He sure is. Okay, we're taking a short break. So a few things to get to after the break. Not least, Lionel Messi was voted FIFA Best Men's Player of the Year last night, and a few other bits and pieces. Klopp Manager of the Year. Kev's going to give us his Team of the Year.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
Now then, welcome back. So FIFA Awards last night in Milan, Kev. The FIFA Best Awards in Milan. Men's Player of the Year was Lionel Messi. He beat Ronaldo and Van Dijk. So Messi, 46 points. Van Dijk was second, 38 points. Ronaldo, third, 36. Mo Salah was in fourth. Sadio Mane was in fifth. Kylian Mbappe then. And then we got into Frankie de Jong, sixth. Hazard was in eighth. Thijs de Ligt, ninth. Harry Kane was 10th. Megan Rapinoe was the Women's Player of the Year. Coach of the Year, Jurgen Klopp.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Pep. Pep was second. Klopp was in first. And Pochettino was in third, was how it went. Any arguments there, do we?
In terms of player of the year?
In terms of Messi or Klopp? Not really.
Messi's, his numbers were absolutely ridiculous. Was it 58 goals, I think he scored? I think
54 goals.
54 and 58 games, that was it.
Games.
And that's not even including internationals as well. So, yeah, he had a big season, a big year. Probably the standout individual player that you could put him up against was, of course, Virgil van Dijk, what he did for Liverpool's defence.
Yeah.
And if your argument would always be in terms of winning trophies, then that's your... that's your benchmark.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at an individual and what he did, it's again another incredible year for Messi. I could see the argument for both. I just think Messi's just again just done big things in big games, semi-final. And I know Liverpool beat them in that semi-final of the two legs, and brilliant for them, credit to them. But I can understand the argument. I can understand if someone was going to argue and say Van Dijk. Personally, I would probably go Messi.
It's really difficult to compare a centre-half and what Messi's done. Like, that is ultimately the problem. But I do,
I think it's a lot more difficult to do what Messi does than what Van Dijk does.
Agreed. We do get blasé about what Messi does.
I know.
So this is the sixth time he's been voted world's best in this award, 09, 10, 11, 12, 15. Basically, him and Ronaldo have shared it.
Yeah.
And you can just get bored of the Messi-Ronaldo thing. And you can just... Like, how do you overlook 54 goals in 58 games?
I know.
Ronaldo, by the way, managed 31 and 47, so he fell off quite a lot.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
It's like 54 and 58.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost conversation over territory.
I know.
If he had just burst on the scene, and this was the first year we'd seen Messi, and he scored 54 and 58, they'd be just, of course he has to be, but because there's the...
Well, Mbappe's figures were very high as well for the youngsters, so you're looking at that, that's where Mbappe sees his future. But again, Messi's done it for 15 years now. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Mick McCarthy, Kev.
Yeah.
Mick McCarthy.
Yeah.
Didn't find a place for Messi in his top three.
Yeah. Mick's gone here on success, hasn't he? I know.
He sure has. Yeah. So, 54 goals in 58 games, good. But Mick's gone for Van Dijk, number one.
Centre-half.
Yeah. Frankie de Jong, number two.
Would you put Harry Kane ahead of Lionel Messi? And
how's Harry Kane popped up there ahead of Messi? Harry Kane, number three, Mick has.
Yeah. Two Champions League final. I mean, he didn't actually get them there as well, did he? In, of course, so, yeah.
Seamus Coleman went for Messi 1, Van Dijk 2, Ronaldo 3.
I couldn't argue with that.
No. I think it is a Messi 1, Van Dijk 2.
Yeah.
In whichever order.
Yeah.
So, Messi went for Mane number 1.
Yeah, I was actually looking at some of these interests. And I've got to mention as well, Philip Quinn. Philip Quinn, he was the Irish media representative.
Yeah.
Philip Quinn went for Virgil van Dijk, Sadio Mane, Mo Salah, 1, 2 and 3.
Liverpool doing very well there.
Liverpool done very well, yeah. Coach, he's gone for Pep Guardiola, number 2, Pochettino, number 3, Klopp. So no Messi in Philip Quinn's top three either.
Him and Mick, Diggs Thieves.
Yeah.
I can't really quibble with Pep won over Pochettino or Klopp. Like, what Klopp did was extraordinary, but it still is a cup competition.
Yeah.
What Pep did in the league is phenomenal.
Yeah.
To hold off that Liverpool team. So
yeah, I know exactly.
Messi went Mane 1. He put Ronaldo in his top 3, Ronaldo 2 and De Jong 3. Ronaldo did not include Messi. He needed every vote.
You know what? That's just ridiculous, isn't it? It is ridiculous.
So you're saying it's ridiculous when Ronaldo does it, but not when Mick does it?
You've got a point, actually. Yeah. I know, but I'm not being funny. But these two have been at this for years, haven't they? Particularly Ronaldo. Ronaldo, I don't think, has ever put Messi in there. And clearly...
Has he not?
No, I think I'd be right. Every year when it would always come up when you're picking your players. But even look, the one thing I couldn't get my head around as well, so Ronaldo's coach of the year is Fernando Santos, his own manager, Portugal manager. You can't vote for your own manager or your own players, surely.
Well, you can, because Didier Deschamps was asked, who's the best player in the world? And he said, it's clearly Kylian Mbappe. That's how this thing works, don't worry. And I guarantee you, if we dig out Fernando Santos's vote...
Yeah.
It's gone to Ronaldo.
It's interesting when you look around, you even see Gareth Southgate, he's gone for Messi 1, Ronaldo 2, Van Dijk 3. So he's gone with the creative players over where you would think maybe he'd go for a defender as well. And Harry Kane went for Messi 1, Van Dijk 2, Ronaldo 3. So I'd probably agree with what you're saying. I think it's you're either
Messi or
defensive
Van Dijk.
Lover or an attacking lover. And that's why I would always go with Messi, because I think it is more difficult to do what Messi's done.
Ronaldo went, by the way, with De Ligt number 1, De Jong number 2, Mbappe number 3.
Yeah.
Was his vote. The team of the year, if you're interested, Alisson in goal. Liverpool had three players in the team of the year. So Alisson was in goal, defenders, De Ligt, Sergio Ramos. Did Ramos have a very good season again?
No chance. There's no way he deserved to be in that team of the year.
Doing very well, isn't he?
Yeah.
So Ramos in there, Van Dijk obviously, and then Marcelo seems to get the nod every year.
Marcelo, I mean, that is a joke. How Ramos, the hell was he better than Andy Robertson last year?
Ramos and Marcelo just seem to get the, you're in.
Yeah.
Midfielders, Luka Modric, Frankie de Jong, Eden Hazard.
Modric, no, as well. He wasn't at the level last season.
No. And then up front, it's a 4-3-3, Mbappe, Ronaldo and Messi. You've done your team of the year for us.
Couldn't argue with that. Yeah, can we get that up on the graphs? I've got to remind myself who I did.
Talk it through us for the radio listeners. In goal.
Yeah, so I've gone in goal, Alisson. I don't think there's any other goalkeeper. He could have gone with Edison, I suppose, because he's had a very good season. But I think Alisson, I think big saves, crucial saves. You think of the save against Napoli in the knockout stages that got Liverpool to the knockout stages, and big moments throughout the Champions League. So Alisson, I think Alisson is quite an easy one to go with.
So you're two fullbacks.
Two fullbacks. I've gone with Liverpool's two. I was torn at right back, but I think in the big games in the second half of the season, Trent Alexander-Arnold did great.
I'm putting him in for his corner alone against Barcelona.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Do you know, so what they've done here on the actual official team, you can leave Kev's team up there on the screen, but what they've done here is they've gone with only one fullback to make room for... You've got De Ligt and Van Dijk.
They've probably gone four defenders, haven't they? Yeah, I've gone actual defenders.
Van Dijk and De Ligt.
Van Dijk and De Ligt.
Whereas they've gone with De Ligt, Ramos and Van Dijk. They've gone with three centre-halves.
Yeah.
So your team...
But Andy Robertson has clearly... was clearly better than Marcelo last season across the course of the season. With his assists throughout the Champions League season and the Premier League year, Andy Robertson was the best left back in European football last year.
Okay.
Definitely.
What's your midfield three?
Well, midfield, I've had to try and get a few others in the side here. For what they did, getting to Frenkie de Jong sitting in midfield, I've gone with Lionel Messi and Mane as the next two ahead of him, simply because I've gone Messi, because Messi did play a lot of his football a bit deeper last season, even though he did get 54 goals. Sadio Mane, I've gone Messi and him left and right of de Jong in midfield. And I've gone Ronaldo, Mbappe and Tadic up front.
Tadic is the one that's raising eyebrows. I know he was exceptional against Real Madrid that day.
Tadic scored 38 goals last year, I think. I just look at Ajax and why
what,
Ajax...
What league, though?
Yeah, I know it's a Dutch league, but you look at where Ajax were when they signed him. So Ajax were in qualification, as they were this year, for the Champions League.
Yeah.
So he scored, I think he scored four, maybe five, I think it was, in qualification for the Champions League. Then the goals, the big goals he scored. Do you remember his performance against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu?
Oh, I remember that one. That was outstanding.
I mean, he played as a nine. You could switch him and Mbappe however you wanted to put that.
Who was pushing Tadic? Sterling must have been pushing him.
No, he didn't have the season last year in numbers, certainly Champions League and everything that Tadic had.
So who in your head was pushing Tadic? Just seems like a mad choice.
Harry Kane, perhaps. But I thought Tadic, because I think he made a real difference to Ajax.
Mo Salah?
Mo Salah, perhaps, but didn't have the numbers of Tadic again. Hmm. And I know what you're saying, maybe a tougher league, and I understand that.
Eden
but
I'm talking
about Hazard, yes, would have been another one. But I'm talking about in the terms of the big games, Tadic was brilliant.
Why didn't he work out at Southampton?
Well, he did work out at Southampton. He left, didn't he? He didn't want to stay at Southampton. They offered him a new deal.
Did he set the world alight, though? He wouldn't have been in your world team of the year, I don't think, at Southampton.
No, but he did. He certainly stood up to be counted last year. I thought he was excellent last year across the Champions League. And I know Mo Salah scored in the Champions League final, and he did great in that. But I thought Mane was Liverpool's best attacking player towards the back end of the season. You could maybe make the argument for Firmino as well. But certainly not an Mbappe's level with goals for both club and country. Mm. And that's why I've gone with that. And certainly Ronaldo in there. But my player of the year, I've gone Messi, Van Dijk, De Jong. Manager of the year, I've gone Ten Hag, Guardiola and Klopp. And the reason why I've gone Ten Hag as well is where he brought Ajax from the year before to get them to that Champions League semi-final. Probably deserve to get to a final as well.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, I've gone Ten Hag. I'm talking budget and everything compared to Guardiola and Klopp as well.
Good thing to take into account, yeah. John says, no argument with the awards, but you underestimate Ronaldo at Juve. It's probably a fair point, John. Tougher league defensively.
Yeah,
also,
definitely.
He scored all of Juve's goals in knockout Champions League matches, plus a massive hat-trick against Atletico. That is a fair point.
Yeah, yeah.
31 and 47 in that context, John. You're absolutely right. I'm not dismissing Ronaldo either. Very good.
I think we all accept if Messi went to Serie A, I think it would be different. He certainly wouldn't be getting the goals that he's scoring in La Liga. I think that would be the case because teams do play more open football. I was chatting to Gareth Bale about that a few years ago now when Gareth Bale was at the top of his game, I suppose, and he was just saying so many players in Spain go to ground very quickly. They just go to ground.
Yeah.
And he said, you know full well, if you get, you know, certainly with his pace, and he never actually said it like that to me, but I was thinking in mind, with his pace, he gets the ball beyond the defender. If a defender goes to ground, he's away. They're not going to be able to live with him. And that was the thing that he said to me was most noticeable between the Premier League and La Liga.
Just before we begin to wrap up, a few different things going on. So Quevin Keller is going to start tomorrow for Liverpool. We'll be talking
about that
tomorrow night,
hopefully.
It seems. Xavi's getting some criticism because he's talking about how wonderful Qatar is in various interviews.
Yeah.
And saying, I do not live in a democratic country, but I believe that the system here in Qatar works better than Spain. I will have to vote in the Spanish general election in November, of course, and I want the best for my future, that of my children. Unfortunately, I see that Spain does not work in the best way. Here in Qatar, we have peace of mind, security. We have no house key, you leave the car running. My wife even tells me that if we can continue here, it'd be better for our children. Both were born here. In Qatar, people are happy. It's true there is no democratic regime, but people are happy. They're delighted with the royal family. They carry his photographs in the car. He takes care of his citizens.
It's like a, something like pro-Trump or pro-Putin,
isn't it? See, and even Bernardo Silva's in hot water at the moment. So look, people are going to be ignorant of certain things,
and you accept that. Do you know what? If that's his genuine view, you've got to go with it and think, right, okay.
You just wonder if it is Xavi's better view, but you wonder even if he just took a passing interest in the World Cup, the kafala system has been so controversial and talked about so much that even if he thought, okay, there's good points and bad points, he might just shy away from giving it the complete ringing endorsement that he has here.
But how long has he been in Qatar now?
2015.
Yes, so he's 4 years yet.
I mean, surely over the 4 years, he's heard something about the World Cup workers.
Yeah.
You know, it would come up somewhere.
Yeah.
But
I would imagine when you live in over there in Qatar, I would imagine there's very little spoken of that, would there? Would that be right?
I've no idea, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not in Xavi's world.
Yeah.
It would appear.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Kev, we could talk here all night. There's only one thing the listeners want to come back to every time.
Yeah, go on.
This is the final bit of advice for you. And then you just need to make up your own mind.
Yeah.
Neutrogena says somebody reduces risk of cancer, bladder problems. Shouldn't be done too soon, though, as dogs need testosterone for muscle and bone development.
Yeah, that's what we said. Certainly, I'm thinking at least till he's 18 months, yeah.
Kev.
Yeah.
Jay in Dublin here. Don't Noonan McGuire. Just don't, says Jay. His personality will change dramatically. Like us, loads of walks, cold showers will sort him out. Cold showers. Get in, Maguire, go away. He won't be the same if you do. Ours went from a lively pal to a dog with a foot licking fetish. Oh dear.
Well.
There you go. That's heavy advice.
Yeah.
Please from Maguire, says Jay in Dublin.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Kev. Your dog wouldn't get you neutered. All dogs are loyal. Repay the loyalty. Just give him constant attention, says ET. And then David Mayo says, Kev, how about you get the snip first and then decide what to do with Maguire later?
Spot on.
Oh, there we go.
He's spot on, isn't he?
Look, the people have spoken.
Yeah.
I think Maguire has earned himself a stay of execution.
Yeah.
Another 6 months.
I'll tell you what, we'll chat around this, yeah. See how his personality is in the next three or four months.
See how he goes. A few cold showers, a few walks. No more than yourself.
Yeah, exactly. What you're saying.
Nothing. Okay, short break. Very final thoughts on one or two other bits going on in one sec.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. The greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
Now then, welcome back. So just to fill you in on how the EFL Cup went for Troy Parrott in particular, he played 67 odd minutes and then was substituted. At that stage it was nil all and it stayed nil all, and then Colchester have beaten Spurs on penalties 4-3. So Spurs out, Colchester have beaten them 4-3 this evening. Maybe Pochettino won't be too upset, to be honest. But Troy Parrott played the first 60-odd minutes or so. Elsewhere, Leicester safely through. They beat Luton Town 4-0 away. Stoke City and Crawley Town drew 1-1. That went to penalties. And Crawley Town beat Stoke. Elsewhere, Southampton 4-0 winners away to Portsmouth. Manchester City 3-0 winners away to Preston. Goals from Sterling, Jesus and Ledson. I haven't seen much of Ledson.
That's an own goal it was. Pleasure Preston, yeah.
Oh, it's an own goal. Perfect.
Yeah.
Definitely haven't seen much of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sheffield Wednesday 0, Everton 2. That is a full time for you. Watford have beaten Swansea City 2-1. And Arsenal, very convincing against Nottingham Forest. 5-0 in the end for Arsenal.
Yeah, so. I thought that might have been a bit of a tricky one tonight. There was a few I looked at tonight at the start of this draw, thinking might be a few tricky ones. So it looks Sheffield Wednesday, Everton travelling there. But when you see the teams, you know, Everton had to win that tonight. They had to take a bit of pressure off Silva, so they've done it, yeah.
Before we go, we give you a chance to win a €100 voucher for appliancesdelivered.ie. Everton, who beat them 2-0 at the weekend? The answer, Sheffield United. Paddy Mullan in Kilkenny. You've won that voucher, Paddy Mullan. Well done. We'll be in touch. All with thanks to appliancesdelivered.ie. OTBAM tomorrow morning, 7:30. And then we're back tomorrow, 7:00 in the evening. Chemical Ban. A star turn this evening. Well done.
Good man. Well done,
see you soon. Good luck.
Thank you.
Tom Dunn is on the way next.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. The greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.